Be turning your Bible, Genesis chapter number 2. Will you stand please with me while we read a portion of the Word of God as out of respect? Genesis chapter number 2, verse number 8. The Bible said, "And the Lord God planted a garden eastward, and there he put the man whom he had formed." The first gardener was the Lord. The Bible said that God planted a garden and called the name of it Eden. You know and I know the Garden of Eden. There are three gardens mentioned in the Bible: the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Gethsemane, and the Garden of the Sabbath. Lord, we want to preach that this morning on the three gardens of God. Heavenly Father, I pray right now, bind the forces of Satan. I pray, O God, for the blood of Jesus. Cover us today, wash us, cleanse us. Let not anything hinder the preaching of thy word. I pray that there be a holy hush that would come upon this place. May we sense the very presence of God. Lord, for that one today that's lost and undone, that one that is not saved, I pray the Holy Ghost of God, the High Sheriff of Heaven, would come and, Lord, convict of heart, convict of sin. Lord, we cannot do it, but thou can. And Father, I pray that you give this message out of God. Lord, I pray for the unction like I've never had it before. May Jesus be glorified in all that's done. We'll thank you, praise you, in Jesus' precious name. Amen and amen. Thank you, beloved. You may be seated. The Garden of God. The Bible said here in Genesis chapter 2 and verse number 8, "And the Lord planted a garden, and there in that garden he placed man, whom he had formed out of the dust of the ground." It is here in the Garden of Eden that we see death in sin. For here in the Garden of Eden, in the very beginning, it was a perfect garden. It was a place of no sin, no sorrow, no death. There was nothing to hurt or to injure in this Garden of Eden. It was a perfect environment. And beloved, may I say to you that there will come again a perfect environment. Thank God, as Brother Steve sang about, the Lord is coming back. He's not coming for the good man. He's not coming for the church man. He's not coming for those that have put money in the offering plate or gone beneath the baptismal waters. He's coming for those that's been washed in the precious blood of Jesus. You say, "Preacher, how can that happen?" By faith, you take a trip up Calvary's mountain. By faith, you see the Lord Jesus hanging there for your sin and for my sin. You see, beloved, when man was placed in this garden, it was a perfect environment. It was a place where no sin entered into. They had everything they ever wanted. But then you'll find in this garden, there are three things in each one of these gardens I want to point out to you. You'll find in this garden, there was the betrayal in the garden. You'll find there is a battle in the garden. And then you'll find bloodshed in the garden. Each one of the gardens that God has, the Garden of Eden, the Garden of Gethsemane, and the Garden of the Sepulchre, you'll find, beloved, there is a battle. You'll find there is a betrayal. And you'll find bloodshed in each one of the gardens. Back in the book of Genesis, notice there, it was a perfect garden, a perfect environment. Can you imagine, Sister Gail, the men that you go into prisons? Could you imagine that there would not be any prisons? Could you imagine, my friend, as I journeyed up to the hospital last night, as I stood out beside of the emergency room, ambulance after ambulance came in, one from Davie County, one from Forsyth County, one from another county, and they took out people that needed to go into that trauma unit. I walked into that hospital, and they had room after room after room of people that were hurting, people that were injured. Can you imagine, my friend, that of a place where there is no sin, no sorrow, no suffering, no pain, no heartache? Friend, I'm going to tell you something. It was then, and it will be in the future. There will be, thank God, a place of rest for the people of God. He's coming back again. When the Lord Jesus comes again,
My friend, he'll reign upon David's throne. He'll sit upon the throne of Jerusalem. And thank God for 1,000 years. It will be peace. There will be no peace in the Middle East until the King of Glory, the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus, reigns in peace. There is that time that they'll beat their swords into plowshares. It is that time that the Lamb will lay down with the lion. There is a peace that's a coming. But friend, may I tell you that the Bible said before that time come, there'll be no peace. He said there'll be no peace to the wicked. And my friend, we're living in a world that is filled with war and bloodshed and corruption. I don't know if you paid attention to the news this week or not, but my friend, we are headed very quickly to another conflict with North Korea. You say, preacher, do you think they'd ever do that? My friend, Jesus said that in the last days there'll be wars and rumors of wars. Nations shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. It was this week that North Korea said that they're going to step up their military. They're going to step up their advances. And they even said by come tomorrow morning, they may just launch a nuclear strike against the United States of America. You say, preacher, does that upset you? No, sir. For I believe, as he's saying, the Lord is coming back at any time. We may never get out of this church service. We may go out through the roof. Hallelujah. We may not go out the door. We may go up in the clouds, and Jesus could come back at any time. If you're not ready, if you're not saved, you will be left behind. But thank God, I'm looking for the day of the glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, the Lord Jesus. I'm not looking for the undertaker. I'm looking for the upper taker. Say amen. I'm going home to a place of no sin, sorrow, suffering, no pain, no tears, no doctors, no heartache, no cancer, no heart attack, no stroke, no needles. Thank God, I'm headed for a better place. The Garden of Eden here. You'll find in that garden, notice, there's a battle raging in that garden. It is a battle for man's soul. For there in the Garden of Eden, perfect environment, perfect place. But then you'll find that the devil always want to mess up something. Can I tell you something? The devil, he's the reason why of the prison. Say amen. It is the devil. You say, preacher, it's the because of their upbringing. It's because of their environment. No, sir, it's the devil. Say amen. The hospital, the cancer. You say, is that the devil? Yes, sir. Because you see, in the Garden of Eden, it was a perfect place. Brother Rodney, we didn't age. We wouldn't have aged. We wouldn't have grown old. We wouldn't have had to go out and bury somebody. We wouldn't have had to go out. I saw one of the saddest things, my wife and I, last week as we took a couple of days off. We were driving down Interstate 40. As we were driving down Interstate 40, there came a Wilbert Vault Company truck up beside of me, and he had the hammer down. I mean, son, he was a fly. I was a fly, and he was just about ready to take off. But as he passed by me, he was pulling a vault, but not an ordinary vault. I've seen hundreds of them. Didn't move me. But as that vault went by, Sister Gail, it wasn't much bigger than this table, and it was pink. And I told my wife, there's a mom and daddy's heart that's a-breaking somewhere. There's a little girl somewhere that's dead. There's going to be a funeral service somewhere. And as that pink vault went by me, I couldn't help but think, nobody, hardly anybody ever sees that vault. For by the time you get out to the cemetery, it's already in the ground. But that mom and daddy, whoever they might be, they wanted to probably do all they could for that little girl. And they bought that pink vault that nobody would see. And I thought then, oh, death has come in and robbed them of their precious little girl. But thank God, I want to tell you something. I'm glad for Jesus has defeated death. There was a battle raging in that garden that day, a battle for man's soul. And the devil came to Eve and said, Eve, if you have been eaten of the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, your eyes would be open and you would be just like God. And Eve believed him. My friend, may I tell you something today? The devil is nothing but a liar. Say amen. You may think, my friend, that all this is just a made-up thing. You may think there's nothing to it. Honey, you can keep believing that lie and you'll die lost and go to a devil's hell. But I'm glad to tell you, I'm glad that one day the truth of God's Word shone in my heart and the Holy Ghost of God convicted my soul as an 11-year-old boy. And thank God, from that day forth, I knew Jesus saved me. There was betrayal in the garden. Number two, there's a betrayal in the garden. Satan promised Eve she'd be like God. He said to Eve, if you would eat of this fruit, your eyes would be open. But my friend, when she ate of that fruit, instead of her eyes being open, her eyes then become blinded. For the Bible said, in whom the God of this world has blinded the minds of them that believe not. You think you're having a good time now? You think you're enjoying life now? My friend, may I tell you something? Death is waiting. Death is coming. You know not what tomorrow may hold. But listen, the devil will lie to you. The devil will try to deceive you into thinking you'll always have another chance. Would to God, before the invitation is ever given, if the Spirit of God deals with your heart, wait till 12 o'clock. Don't wait till 11:55. Come to the cross. Kneel beneath the cross. Get saved today. You may never have another chance. There's a battle, there's a betrayal. Number three, there's bloodshed in the garden. For when their eyes were opened and man and woman became naked before God, he came into the garden and called by name, and God went over. Death had never, they had never seen death. Little Tyler asked me a question a week or so ago. Can you imagine? And I believe this, that before sin came into the world, we were all vegetarians. I mean, man was vegetarian. Now, I enjoyed that hamburger right last night, but before that time, nobody ate any meat. You know why? Because they didn't kill any animals. But when sin came into the world, God in His mercy, and I believe the Bible doesn't say, but I believe it was a lamb, that He went over and slayed the lamb. God Himself killed a lamb, and God took the covering of the lamb and put it on man and put it on woman because their nakedness would not show. And friend, let me tell you something. Because of the blood that was shed in the garden, man was clothed. And thank God for that today. That when the blood was shed, I'm covered in His righteousness. The devil and all the demons of hell can't get through the blood. Number two this morning, quickly, there's the Garden of Gethsemane. Have your Bibles. Turn over to Matthew 26. We find the second garden of God that's found in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, in verse 36. You find there the garden that the Bible said, then cometh Jesus with them into a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, sit ye here while I go pray yonder. You find in the Garden of Eden, beloved, there is a garden of death. Death in sin. But here you find in the Garden of Gethsemane, death for sin. It was in the Garden of Gethsemane here outside of Jerusalem. I've never been there. I've read about it. It was an olive garden. The word Gethsemane comes from the word press. And what it signifies is that they would, as the olive trees would grow, and if you have time, and I thought maybe to bring it out here, but then I decided not to, but I stopped by my favorite store the other week, GW, and I walked in and there was a pair of praying hands that caught my attention. They were hand-carved, and I picked them up and I looked on the bottom of them, and it said on the bottom, made in Bethlehem on the West Bank. I immediately purchased them for $2. They're hand-carved olive wood, beautiful, praying hands. That olive wood, they tell me that in Gethsemane, it was a place of olive trees. And they would harvest the olives off the tree and put them in a vat. And then they would take in a press, as they would perhaps grapes, and press down the olives and squeeze the olives. And the more pressure that was placed on the olives, the more olive oil that would run out, and they would collect it and they'd sell it. But you see, the more pressure that they put on the olives, the more juice flowed out from the olives. It was here in Gethsemane that the Lord Jesus, you'll find three things here. There's a battle going on in the garden. Satan and the Son of God. Here's a battle for man's soul. The Bible said in Luke chapter 22, verse 44, and being in agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was as great drops of blood falling down to the ground. The word agony is found only two times in the entire Bible. One time it's found here in the Gospel of Luke. And Jesus there, he entered into the Garden of Gethsemane. He told the 11 disciples, he said to them, sit ye here while I go pray yonder. And then he took Peter, James, and John, went into the innermost part of the garden, and he told them, he said, tarry here until I go and pray. And Jesus went into the innermost part of the garden, fell down on his face before God, prostrate, laid out, and for an hour he agonized. For an hour he prayed, and this is what he prayed. Father, if it be thy will, let not this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, thy will be done. My friend, we gathered here Thursday night. I used that verse. It took me 7 seconds to read that verse. 7 seconds to read that verse. But my friend, the Bible said that Jesus laid an hour prostrate in the garden, prayed an hour, got up to come back to his disciples, found them asleep, went the second time, said the same thing for another hour, got up and came back and found them asleep again. For three times he prayed, Father, let not this, not my will but thine be done. You say, preacher, what was he praying about? He said, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. For he found there in the garden, there was a cup that he was looking at. And you say, preacher, what was in the cup that it caused such agony? It caused such pain. It caused such sorrow. For there, as he sweat, great drops of blood came from his brow. They tell me when a man goes through extreme distress, extreme agony, that the capillaries in his head burst and great drops of blood fall like sweat falling to the ground. And there in the garden, there was a battle raging between the forces of hell and the forces of heaven, between the demons of hell and between the angels of God, between the Son of God and the devil himself. For the devil knew, listen, the devil knew if he could stop Jesus from getting to the cross, he would have your soul and my soul, and we would be condemned to hell. There's a battle raging. And Jesus prayed and said, Father, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. There was a battle. Number two. In the garden, there was a betrayal in the garden. You find Judas selling Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. The soldiers asked Judas, how will we recognize him? We don't have any pictures. We don't know what he looks like. Judas said, it will be him that I plant a kiss upon. Listen, the Bible said that Satan is as a serpent. Can you just hear that in the word kiss? The hiss of a serpent. Before that snake would attack, he would... And Judas walked up, and there he walked up to the Son of God, the one that had wrought the miracles, the one that had walked on the Galilean shores, the one that had stilled the water, had calmed the seas, and Judas had seen all that. He was there. He saw the miracles of God. He saw the power of God. He saw the presence of God. And there he walked up and kissed him on his face. The soldiers came to Jesus. Here he was, a man that kissed the very door of heaven and went to hell. You may be sitting here this morning. You're not here by accident. You're not here by chance. This church was praying for you this morning. This preacher was praying for you this morning. God's Holy Spirit is begging you this morning. If you're not saved, you don't know 100% you're saved, today is the day of salvation. Don't you listen to the devil. You may never have another chance. Listen, when you get in a service like this and you feel the presence and power of God and the Holy Ghost of heaven is working, it's time to do business with God. And there was betrayal. But third of all, there was that bloodshed. When Christ sweated, great drops of blood fell. This was the first blood that he shed, but not the last blood. For immediately after the prayer, and he'd been up all night, he had that evening before had the supper, last supper with his disciples. They went up to the Mount of Olives. He went into the Garden of Gethsemane. He had been up all night long, and now the soldiers came. They led him away to Pilate's judgment hall. Pilate sends him over to Caiaphas. Caiaphas sends him back to Pilate. Pilate doesn't know what to do with him, so he says, "Scourge him, and we'll let him go free." And they took the Lord Jesus. That blood began in the Garden of Gethsemane, but it did not end in the Garden of Gethsemane. For there in the Garden of Gethsemane, that was the first beginning of the blood. Listen, can you imagine? Listen to me. Can you imagine? I don't know of anybody in here that has not had some form of an injury. Cutting your hand, cutting your foot, but you've seen your blood before. Last night, I saw little Courtney, and I saw her blood. I saw it as it stained the towel. I saw it from the automobile. I saw her blood. But can you imagine this? Jesus had never bled before. Now, listen to me for a second. Here he was. He grew up in the home of Joseph. By the way, God was his father. Say amen. I think the Catholics put too much emphasis on Mary. We put too little on it. She was the chosen one of God to which Jesus would come, and she was the Virgin Mary. Say amen right there. Had she not been the Virgin Mary, we would have no Savior. But thank God, she knew not a man. She was conceived of the Holy Ghost of God, and Jesus came to this world. But Joseph was a carpenter by trade. And I don't know about you, but my daddy was a carpenter. I grew up around equipment. I grew up around saws and hammers, and I've driven nails in my foot, and I've driven nails in my hand. I've got a scar on my finger from a handsaw that slipped and went across. I know what it is to be in a carpenter's house. And can you imagine? But Jesus, in a carpenter's house, never cut himself. Never was he bruised. Never did he have any bloodshed. Why? Because the Bible said he had to be the spotless, sinless Lamb of God. And if any blood was shed before that, if he had injured himself anyway, he would not be spotless. But he was the spotless Lamb of God. And that day, that night, that early morning, the sweat began to pour and the blood began to pour. And then into Pilate's judgment hall, as they beat his back into ribbons of flesh that hung, and the blood came pouring down, and he stood in a pool of his own blood. They planted a crown of thorns on his head, and the thorns went out the side of his scalp, and the blood came trickling down. They lacerated his back. They beat him with a cat of nine tails. My friend, they tell me from history that many a man never made it to the cross. The soldier would take the cat of nine tails and whip a man to the point that sometimes it cut him in half. Sometimes the criminals would carry their insides with them as they were nailed to the cross. Sometimes that cat of nine tails would wrap around, knocking their eyes out. Jesus endured that suffering. Jesus endured your pain. Jesus endured the cross. He shed his blood for you. For without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. God said it. God said, without the blood, you cannot and will not be saved. Notice the third garden. And that's the Garden of the Sepulchre. I find that in John 19:40. The Bible says this: then they took the body of Jesus and wound it in linen clothes with the spices, as the manner of the Jews is to bury. Now in the place where they crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new sepulchre, wherein was never a man laid. And there laid they Jesus. Therefore, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the sepulchre was nigh at hand. I find here is a borrowed tomb. In John 19:38, after this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, besought Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus, and Pilate gave him leave. He came therefore and took the body away. Here was a man, a disciple of Jesus, but he kept quiet. I wonder how many people today never open up their mouth, never speak for the Lord. As our sister said this morning, your testimony could make a difference between somebody going to heaven and somebody going to hell. Just tell them what God's done for you. Just tell them how good he's been through you. Like Brother James Brown, tell them how good God has been. As he stood on that bridge, God sent by a Christian policeman that got him off the bridge. Thank God he didn't jump. Amen. I told the family yesterday, thank God for his divine protection for little Courtney. Thank God. Listen, she could have been killed. I saw the car. She flipped that thing about 3 times. I mean, she could have died. She could have been paralyzed. And she don't know, we don't know, but I believe, you can say what you want to, I believe there was an angelic being of God that helped her that day yesterday. She got out of that automobile, shoulder crushed, hand messed up, but she crawled out. You say, how'd she do it? I don't know. But God did it, amen. And a little lady come by and saw that. She could have laid, I told the family, I said, she could have laid out there in the woods for a long time. But God sent somebody by and helped her. And Courtney looked at that little lady yesterday and said, would you pray with me? That little lady dropped her head and prayed and waited till the ambulance got there. Hey, you say what you want to, but I believe in the divine protection of God. God has a plan. Back here in the garden, I find it was a borrowed tomb. Second of all, I find there's a battle raging, a battle between death and the Son of God. It was a battle for man's soul, for your soul, for my soul. When Jesus died and the Bible said he was buried, he was in the tomb for 3 days and 3 nights. And my friend, if death could have held him down, if death could have kept him in the tomb, you and I would have no chance of heaven. I can imagine. I thought this up. I didn't look it up in a book, but I thought this up. I was thinking the other morning. God woke me up early the other morning and gave me this idea, and I went and started writing some thoughts down. But I thought, if there was a conversation between Satan and death, it'd go something like this. You know, death, it's because of me that you're even here. For back yonder in the Garden of Eden, there was no death. But because of what I did to Adam and Eve, you came into being. And so death, we've got him now where we want him. Hold him fast. Yes, Master, I'll do it. The first day and the first night, Jesus was dead in the tomb. I believe the demons of hell rejoiced. I believe the angels wept. The second day, the devil comes to death and says, death, give me a report. What say ye? I've still got him. He's still down in the tomb. Devil, don't you worry about him. We've won. He said, hold him fast. Time will tell. The third day, Satan comes to death and says, death, what do you have to say for yourself today? We've got him. He's still dead. It's been 3 days, been 3 nights. Let's start the party. And so as the devil and the demons of hell, the imps of hell, began to party. They began now perhaps just to rejoice that Jesus was now dead, his body in the grave. I believe perhaps death comes over and says, excuse me, I need to talk to you, devil. And devil says, don't bother me now. We're partying. We're having a big old time. Jesus is dead. He's been dead now for 3 days and 3 nights. And death would say, that's what I want to talk to you about. He said, I checked on him. Hey, he got up. Life began to come back in his body. He reached up and took the napkin from his face and folded it, laid it off to the side. He took the burial garments and took them and laid at his feet. He rolled the stone away. He descended into the heart of the earth. And he took my keys away from me. And he said, I am he that was dead and now am alive. And I have the keys of death, hell, and the grave. That bad news, Jesus lives. Thank God he lives. Because he lives. You may take this body one day. And listen, if I go before y'all, I want you to have the biggest celebration there is. Joanne, I want you to play like you never played. And I want you to preach like you never preached. And I want to see people saved. For when that time comes, I will not be here. I'll be more alive than I ever have been before. For death cannot hold the child of God. Three gardens, three battles. But then the last thing I find here is there's a blood in the garden. In the sepulcher, yes. For they had taken my Savior and wrapped him in linen clothes, laid him in a new tomb, a tomb that had never been known of man, Joseph of Arimathea. But those clothes that they wrapped him in, that blood that he shed on Calvary's cross, the blood that covered his body, the blood that went down his back, they wrapped him in linen. But then that morning that he arose from the dead, thank God, those clothes, he didn't need any longer. The burial garments, he wouldn't need anymore, for he is alive. But there was blood on them clothes in the tomb. Thank God. You say, what did he do, preacher? He had taken his blood and went up into the heavenlies, into the holy of holy places, into the very throne room of God, typified in the Old Testament in the tabernacle, typified in the Old Testament in the temple. They had said that once a year on the Day of Atonement, you were to take blood, go into the holy of holy places, behind the veil of the temple, behind the curtain where only the high priest could go, and take that blood and put it on the mercy seat of God and stand back, and the priest would clap his hands and say, it's finished. And the Shekinah glory would come down. The power of God would fill the place. And God would say, your sins have been atoned for 1 year. But I'm glad to tell you, when my Savior went into the Holy of Holies, put his blood on the mercy seat of God, when he said, it's finished, it's paid for forever. His blood bought my soul, but his blood washes me white as snow. Would you bow your heads, please?